Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadi Vav. We left off on Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Beis. We are six lines into the wide lines on Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Beis. Boi Minei Rav Huna Mei Rav. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas, his mother, called about Simcha Aleha Shalom, the Nisham Shav Naliyah. It is also sponsored by Jeremy Lussman in commemoration of the 12th yard site of his grandmother, and Lasmin Chana Rachel Bas Avram Alter Aleha Shalom, the Neshama Shav Naliyah. And it's also sponsored by Daniel and Etty Hirschberg in honor of their children Tamar and Ephraim Warsaw and their daughter Tova, who are making Aliyah today. They should have much Hatzlacha in their Aliyah, and we're obviously very proud of them. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First, the Gemara is going to tell a number of stories where we were matir, basar shenasale min ha'ayin. Then the Gemara is going to say, based on some of those stories, that we see that we're going to have three different rayas, that tevius ayin is stronger than a simin. That a simin, you may be able to have certain identifying features that you could point out, but just saying that you recognize something, tevius ayin is even stronger than a simin. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss how much of the gid needs to be removed and how much needs to be eaten in order to be chayiv malkus for eating gid anasha. The Gemara is going to tell us a story where Shmuel wasn't satisfied with the nikur that was being done for him, because the nikur that was being done for him was only in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel is machmir like Rabbi Meir. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas tanayim, how much of the gid hapanimi is included in the isra of gid anasha, and it's going to be based on how to read the psukim related to gid anasha. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss what happens if the gid anasha is not removed and is cooked with other stuff, with other gidin inside the thigh, with other meat, whatever it might be. What happens to the other meat if the gid anasha was cooked with it? The Gemara is going to discuss the difference between a gid that was cooked with other meat and a gid that was roasted with other meat. And this daf is the beginning of those dapim that relate most to the Hilchos Tarovos. And if anyone ever learns from Smicha, you ever learn Yaradeya, these are the dapim. This is where it's at in terms of Hilchos Tarovos. So let's begin again, six lines into the wide lines. On Daf Tzadi Yemen Beis. Before that. Rav Huna asked Rav the following shayla. B'charuzin mahu. What if you have meat that's strung up together and you were nisali min ha'ayin, you turned away from it and you turned back and it's still there. So can you assume it's the same meat that you saw before? Do you have to assume that a bird came, took it away and replaced it with other meat that was also strung up? So I'm like, al tishot b'charuzin. Don't ask me silly questions about charuzin. Harez a simon, obviously it's a simon, and you can be samech on that. There's what are the chances that a bird is going to find other meat that's also strung together, and he's going to replace it exactly with the same type of meat? So the Gemara says. So it seems pretty clear that charuz of basar is unusual, and that's why it's obvious that it's the same meat. Tosos raises the question in the bottom Tosos that in the Tosefta we find that if you find the charuzim Shaldagim shal basar hareu shalo, that halacha is that you're allowed to keep it because there's no simin just because it's charuzin, meaning that's apparently a very normal way to keep meat. So it's not something that you could say that someone is going to be able to say, no, my meat was one that was strung together. Everybody's meat is strung together. So fractosos, well, wait a second, if everybody's meat is strung together, then why is it so hard to believe that it was replaced by a bird with other meat that was strung together? So Tosos says it is darko bekach, so it's not a simon the gabe hashavas haveda, but it's a little bit of a simon. So at least to get around the basar shel salim min ha'ayin problem, it's enough. Meaning it's something. It's not nothing. So when it comes to hashavas haveda, we have much higher criteria in order to say that it's unusual enough. But for basar shel salim min ha'ayin, the bar is kind of low. So this is different enough that it enables us to get around basar shel salim min ha'ayin. Dagos Ashri says no. There's a difference between basar and dagim. Dagim, they would always string together. They wouldn't string meat together. And therefore, it's a simin legabe meat, but not legabe dagim. That's the difference between the two. Igada amri, amar avuna amar rav, becharuzin hareza simin. That if it's becharuzin, it's a salmon ayin, it's a simin, and you're allowed to eat those pieces of meat. You don't have to assume it was exchanged for something else. So now the Gemara tells a series of maises. Rav Nachman Ardoa ikal gabi Rav Kahana lupum nahara b'mali yom de kipuri. Rav Nachman Ardoa went to Rav Kahana on the river Pom on erev Yom Kippur. Asa orve shadu shadu kavdi v'kulyasa. And ravens came and they just started dropping meat all over the place. They started dropping livers and kidneys. So amalei. So Rav Kahana said to Rav Nachman, shkol v'achol, it's raining meat. Go take. You can go feast on this stuff. You don't have to worry that it's nevelis treifus or anything like that, because now on erev Yom Kippur, all the Jews are preparing their sudos. The shochtim are all working hard to prepare meat for the kosher consumer. So all of this is coming from kosher animals. It all comes from the local butchers that are all shechting kosher today. And you don't have to worry that maybe even kosher butchers have a treif every now and then, because rov behemos are obviously not treifos. And that's what Rashi points out. Rashi also points out that Rav Kahana holds that we're not choshish that maybe these ravens brought it from Rov Ha'olam. Granted, most of the local butchers are kosher butchers. Most of the local people are the kosher consumers. What about Rov Ha'olam, where Rov of the Basar in the world is Nevela? So apparently he's not choshish for that. And in that way, he's disagreeing with Rav, who asers Basar Shenesalim in Ayin, even in a city that Rov Tavche Yisrael, that most of the butchers, most of the shochtim are Jewish people, are religious Jewish people. So apparently this is a machlokas between Rav Kahana and Rav. And also we find in the Maisa that we mentioned before that someone had a head of an animal that fell into the river, and he found two of them that he asked, that Rav asked, because maybe Orvim came from Rov Ha'olam. And Rav Kahana said, no, in this place, it's all kosher butchers. So even though there's an extra head over here and we don't know where it came from, Mistama came from this place. So we do find that this is a machlokas between Rav Kahana and Rav. However, Tosos in Dibra Maskel Asik says Rav Kahana does not disagree with Rav. The reason that he was mat to the basar is because all the areas around where the Orvim could have brought the meat from were also Rov Tabche Yisrael. The true Rov Ha'olam has meat that's nevelas, but there's only such the ravens only have so much range. They're not bringing meat from great distances. So in the neighboring areas, it's also Rov Tabche Yisrael. So it's not necessarily so that Rav Kahana is in disagreement with Rav in this story. Next story, Rav Chiya bar Rav in Itva de Karkisha Beni Dana. It's probably the right girsa, that he lost a piece of meat in between barrels of wine. So he couldn't find it. And then he found it later. So Asal Kamed Rav Huna, he asked Rav Huna, is this a problem? Is it Basel Shana Salim in Ayin? So Amalei, he said, is Zoch Siman Begavei? Do you have a simon on it, that with an identifying feature that you'll be able to know that that's for sure the same meat? So Amalei, lo. He says, I have no simon. It looks like a regular piece of meat. Is Zoch Siman Begavei? Yeah, but do you recognize it? It may not have a simon that you could point to. That you could say, oh, there's a discoloration here, there's a marking over there, but if you look at it, are you able to recognize that it's your meat? Somebody in, he says, yeah, that I could do. Same case, zil shkol. He says, that's good enough. Then you could go take it, you could eat it. Another story, Chanina Chaza itpadlei gaba de bisra. He lost also a piece of meat, a whole back of an animal, and then he found it. Asal kamed Rav Nachman, so he asked Rav Nachman, am I allowed to eat it? Somebody isloch simana begave, do you have a simon? Amalei, lo, I don't have any simon. Islach tviyas ayin begavei. Would you recognize it? You have a tviyas ayin? Amalei in. That I have. So imkein shkol. So good. You can go and you can eat it. Next story. Rav Nasan bar Abaye itpadlei kibura de techilta. That he lost cuts of wool that were dyed with tcheles that were able to be used for the mitzvah of tzitzis. And this is very expensive. Tcheles is very expensive. So asal kamed Rav Chista. He came to Rav Chista to ask, can he rely that it's the same pieces of wool that are dyed with tcheles. What difference does it make if it looks like it's wool that's dyed with tcheles? So it should be kosher for the mitzvah. No, because it might be kali ilan. Kali ilan looks exactly like tcheles, but that's not it's not valid for the mitzvah. Samlei islach siman begavei. Do you have a siman on it? Samlei lo. I don't have any siman islach tviyasein begavei. Would you recognize it? Amalei in. Yeah, I would recognize it. Simkein zil shkol. So good. You can take it and you can use it for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, obviously, tviyasein begavei doesn't mean on the tcheles color, because the kali ilan looks exactly like it means the cut of wool. That this cut of wool, you'd be able to say, yeah, that's the wool that I lost. Now, Amar Rava, Meresha, Hava Amina Simana Adif Mitviyaseina. Initially, I used to think that a simin is a stronger way of identifying something than a Tviyasayin, than just saying, I recognize it. And what's my raya that a simin is stronger than a Tviyasayin? Damadrina Navidita Besimana. We return in Aveda if someone is able to produce a simin, if someone is able to say that there's this and this simin on the Aveda, we'll give it back to him. V'lamadrin Betviyaseina. We don't return Aveda when someone comes and says, oh yeah, that's mine. You have a siman? No, but I recognize it. That's mine. That's not good enough to return an Aveda. So initially I thought that it must be because a siman is stronger than a Tvias Ayin. The Rishonim raised the obvious question. Tos says, how could it be that he initially thought that a siman is better than a Tvias Ayin? Even in the Din of Hashavas Aveda, the Halach is for a Talmud Chacham, we're Meshav Aveda based on Tvias Ayin. So apparently for a Talmud Chacham, there's no chilik between a Tvias Ayin and a siman. Why don't I return an Aveda to an Am Haaretz with a Tvias Ayin? Not because it's not as strong, but it's because I don't believe the guy. Meaning, if the guy has a siman, so now I know that it's his, because he's able to tell me what the identifying features are. But if he just says, I recognize it, anyone could say that they recognize it. So what's the Hava Amina that Rava really thought, based on that halacha, that a siman is stronger than a Tvias Ayin? So Tos says that Rava initially thought that when we say that we're Maksar Veda to a Talmud Chacham with a Tvias Ayin, that's only with a full Tvias Ayin. But somewhat of a Tvias Ayin, we wouldn't even be Maksar to a Talmud Chacham. So that's what he's saying. From the Dinam of Hashavas Aveda, even when you have a guy that you have perfect trust in, since his initial thought was that a regular level Tvias Ayin, not an absolute 100%, I recognize this, like I would know that, I'd be able to identify my own wife, my own children, right? If it's not that level of Tvias Ayin, we would not return to a Talmud Chacham. We would not return an Aveda to a Talmud Chacham. So it's based on that. It's dafka based on that din of Hashavas Aveda, even in a case where you trust him. That's what Rava was saying, that he thought that a siman was better than a Tvias Ayin. However, most of the other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, that whole group of Rishonim, said that Rava's Hava Amina was that the reason we're Machzer and Aveda B'Tviyas Ayin only to a Talmud Chacham is not because we don't trust other people. We believe in the inherent honesty of humanity. It's not we don't trust other people. Why would we give it back to a Talmud Chacham and not to other people? Because Talmud Chacham has training to be medayek in things and to look at things carefully and to assess things. And it takes much more care and much more analysis to be able to identify something with a Tviyas Ayin than it would with a siman. And that was Rava's Hava Amina. The Rava's Hava Amina was that a siman is stronger, and therefore we assume everybody's capable of siman. Everyone's capable of identifying something with a siman, but a Tviyas Ayin, it's hard to do. A Tviyas Ayin is not something that everybody's capable of being able to have in an object, because we just don't think that people have the capability to be as medaktek in what something looks like. So that was his Hava Amina, that it must be that a siman is stronger than a Tviyas Ayin. But he continues, Hashid Shamatin Lani Shmaitza. But once you tell me all these cases of Basra Shana Salim and Ayin, where the ultimate question was, do you recognize it? And recognizing it was good enough. I mean, a Tviyas Ayin ain't a Hadifa. So I realize that Tviyas Ayin is even better than a Simin, because if they recognize it, that's good enough. And he says, and I'll bring you a Raya that we rely on Tviyas Ayin when it comes to Isser Veheter. Because if you're not going to rely on Tviyas Ayin, Heich Suma Mutar B'Ishto. How is a blind man ever allowed to be with his wife? How is anybody ever allowed to be with their wife at nighttime when it's dark and they can't see them? Ella, b'tzviyaseim l'tzakala. It must be that there is this concept of inherent recognition. Now, you can't point to particular features, but I hear the voice. I know that that's the voice of that person, so a man can recognize his wife's voice. So, achanami b'tzviyaseina. So, over here also, when it comes to basar shenasalim and ayin, I just know. I see this piece of meat, and I know that that's my piece of meat. I don't have to be able to identify particular markings on the piece of meat. So the Acharon raised the question, wait, the only reason that a man is allowed to be with his wife when it's dark, or a suma with his wife, is because tviyas ein lo tekala, because he recognizes her voice? What if you have a deaf person and it's nighttime? Or you have a blind person who's also deaf, even during the daytime. So there's no tviyas ein, there's no tviyas ein lo tekala, so is he never going to be allowed to be with his wife? So the Yamshel Shlomo suggests that the Gemara only requires tviyas ein lo bekal when you find your wife not where she's supposed to be. But if it's in your house, so then you can assume that that's your wife, that there's not some other woman that just that moved into your house and and has taken up residence there. So it's only when it's out of context that you would find that you would find that. And he brings a raya that everyone is allowed to be misharish mitaso with their wife at night, even when you don't speak to her prior to that, because we never find anywhere in halacha that there's a din that one must hear his wife's voice before having tashmish amita. You don't need a tviyas ein lo tekala as long as it's within context, so you know that it must be heard. In fact, the Mishnah Nida tells us that the chamarin upoel and people who are away for long periods of time and they come back home, nashosein becheskas tara bein aros bein yishenos, that their wives are becheskas tara whether they're awake or they're sleeping. So if they're sleeping, they're not speaking. So what do you mean? How do you know that it's even your wife at all when you're coming back at night? Elamai, there's no requirement that they have to speak. Okay, another raya. I'll bring you a raya that tviyas ayin is even stronger than a simin. Dilu asi betray va'amni, because if two people were to come and say, planya da haisi mani vahasi mani katal nafsha, that a certain man killed somebody, and I'll identify the person for you. It's someone who has who's this tall, has this color hair, and they just start giving simanim of the person. So lo katlinale, we wouldn't kill Reuven based on the fact that Reuven fits the description of what they're saying about the person who had committed the murder. That would not be valid edus if they're not. But vilu amri is. But if they were to say, Reuven killed Shimon, what do you mean? How do you know who Reuven is? Because we know Reuven. That's Reuven. So Tzvias Ayin, that's it. Just the fact that they recognize who he is. So Katlin Olay, then that would be enough to execute the person. And a third Raya, Amravashi Teda. If a guy were to say to a shliach, go get so-and-so for me, and this is what he looks like. And you start giving simanim of what he looks like. So you're not sure he's going to find the right guy. He may find someone else that has similar features that looks similar to him. But if you know that he knows the guy, and you say, find Uncle Bob for me, and he's a nephew also. So he knows what the uncle looks like. Every time at a wedding, I always tell the chassan, whoever is getting kibudim, you need someone who knows all those people so that we can find them when we need them, to sign the ksuba to the... sometimes he has a friend and he says, no, it's a guy with glasses and he's kind of short and he's Jewish. You're not going to be able to say, but if you have a tviyas ayin, you know what the person looks like, so then you're confident that he's going to be able to find him if he knows who the people are. So kichasi le'yadalei. So when he sees him, of course he's going to know who he is. So that's the third raya that tviyas ayin is stronger than a simin. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses what happens if how much of the gira nasha needs to be removed. Hanotel gira nasha tzorek shitals kulo. You need to take the full thickness of the gira nasha, which means you need to dig in and scoop out as deep as the gira nasha runs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kedei l'kayim bo mitzvos netila. You don't have to take out the whole thickness of the gid. You just need to take out to kedei netila, that which is exposed on top of the thigh, but you don't need to dig in and scoop out whatever is there. Ha'ochel migira nasha kezayis. If a person needs a kezayis of a gira nasha, sovek arba'im, he gets 40 malchus. Well, obviously it's an israchila, so obviously you get malchus for eating kezayis of a gira nasha. So the Miri writes that the chiddush is that even though in begidim menos in tam, so it tastes like eitz bi'alma, it doesn't taste like anything. So nevertheless, nevertheless, the Isser is Bikazayis. Rabbeinu Yehonasan says that the Chiddush is that had it not been for this Tana, I would have thought that only if you eat the full Gid Hanasha, you get Malkus, that only a Gid Shalem, so Kamash Malan, then no, a Kazayis of a Gid, you get Malkus for as well. Acholovein Bo Kazayis, what if it's a tiny Gid Hanasha? So you eat the entire Gid Hanasha, but it's less than a Kazayis, Chayiv. You're likewise Chayiv Malkus, because a Gid Hanasha is considered a Beria, it's considered an entire entity, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv for that. Achol Mizek Kazayis, Umizek Kazayis, if you eat a Kazayis from each of the Gid Hanashas, from the right side of the animal and the left side of the animal, Sofik Shmonim, Tanakama says, you get 80 Malkios, because they're both Aser. So as long as you got two separate Asra'os for each of the Gid Hanashas, you're going to get 80 Malkios. Rabbi Yudah Amar Eilu Sofik El Arbaim. Rabbi Yudah says, no, you only get, it's Arbaim Yakenu, you only get 40 Malkios, because only one of the Gidim is Aser. It's Hayerech, and it's not both, so it's only and it's Mestaver, that it's only the right one, not the left one. Remember, we had a whole sugya where we weren't sure. Was Rabbi Yehuda certain that it's only the right one, not the left one? Or was he Mesupak? He knew that it was only one, but he was Mesupak which one it was. Either way, if you eat both of them, you're not going to be Chayiv two Malkus. You're only going to be Chayiv one time Malkus, because only one of them is actually Aser. So now the Gemara says, Bar Piyuli Avakoi Kameh Shmuel. Bar Piyuli was standing in front of Shmuel, V'kamenakar Atma, and he was doing Nikar Agid. He was removing the Gid Hanasha from Shmuel's meat. And he just evened it out. He evened out the surface. So he didn't scoop out as deep as the Gid went. He just cut off whatever stuck above the surface of the meat. So Amalei Chut Beit Hei. Shmuel says, dig deeper. You got to take it all out. I'm glad I saw you doing the Nikur. If I didn't see you doing the Nikur, you would have given me something that's also to eat. So Irtas Parpuli got very scared. Nafal Sakinim. He dropped the knife. He got so scared that Shmuel was accusing him of being either an Amaretz or a Russia, that he was doing it all wrong. So Amalei lo tirta. Shmuel said, don't worry, I'm not choshed that you're an Amaretz or a Russia. Da'ori lach, Rabbi Yehuda, Ori lach. I realize that you're following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds you only need to cut out the upper surface of the gid, and that you don't need to scoop out that which is beneath the surface of the meat. It's just that I'm machmir for the other sheet, I hold like the Tanakama, that you need to scoop it all out. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Ma'id Shakel Bar Piyule, Da Raisa Rabbi Yehuda. That which Bar Piyule took out from the Gid is only that which Rabbi Yehuda holds as Asur Mida Oraisa. Wait, he only took that which Rabbi Yehuda holds as Asur Mida Oraisa, Mechal Deshir Derabanan Rabbi Yehuda. That makes it sound like what he left inside is not that which Rabbi Yehuda permits, but that which Rabbi Yehuda holds is only an Isur Derabanan. Then we vayt Rav Akasha Bar Piyule. Bar Piyule was right to drop his knife and to think of himself of being accused of being a Russia or an Amma Aretz. How do you leave in the Yisr Drabanan when you're feeding it to Shmuel? So, meaning who taught him how to do this Gid Hanasha, this Nikor Gid rather? If he's doing something that, according to the Tanakama, it's an Issa Daraisa, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's an Issa Drabanan. How's that possible? Ella Amar Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes says, and we got to fix this up a little bit. Ma'id Shakel Bar Piyule Daoraisa, that which Bar Piyule took out is for sure Daoraisa, both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the parts that he removed were the absolutely definitively problematic parts on a Daraisa level according to all opinions. Oh my Deshire, and whatever he left behind, Derabanan the Rameir, is only Asur Midrabanan according to Rabbi Meir, meaning Rabbi Meir does hold, you have to scoop it out and you have to dig deeper, but that's only on a Derabanan level. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need to do it at all. It's totally mutter. So the part that he left was mutter le Rabbi Yehuda. So since it was mutter, Ali Bid Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he was doing what was essentially the correct thing to do in his view. And that's why Shmuel was saying, I'm not accusing you of Rishos, I'm not accusing you of Amaratus, I know that you're doing a proper Nikur Agid according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Good. The Mishnah then said, Ochel Migid Hanasha Delvidu, Kazayis of Migid Hanasha, you get 40 Malkus. So we had learned previously that the thickness of the Gid over the Kafa Yarech is... somewhat absorbed into the meat around the thigh bone, but aside from that, around the hip, but aside from that, the gid has chutim that extend all down the thigh until it gets to the akuva tachtona, all the way down the leg, and it connects to the tzomas hagidim. And we also said that there are two gidim in each thigh. There's the gid chitzoni and the gid pnimi. So the gid chitzoni is just a very short vein. It's not very long. The gid pnimi is the long one that's aser min haTorah and that reaches all the way down to the tzomas hagidim. So the Gemara is going to discuss the gid pnimi, which is aser min haTorah. Do you need to take all of it out, or can you just take out that which is al kaf hayerech, meaning it's the one that extends all the way, that's not just a small piece? The gira chitzoni is only a small piece, so obviously if you're going to take that out on a drabana level, you just take it, but the gira pnimi goes all the way down to the tzomas hagidim, so when you pull out the when you do the nikor, do you have to pull out the whole thing? So it says Gemara, Amar Shmuel la'asa Torah, Ella sha'al hakaf bilvad. You don't have to take out the entire gira pnimi all the way down to the tzomas hagidim. You just take out that which is on the hip. Shenemar al kaf hayarech, because the pasuk says al kaf hayarech. So it sounds like only that which is on the kaf hayarech. Kaf literally means a spoon, because it's a spoon shaped area of the animal. So it's only there that you have to remove the gira nasha. Amar Rav Papa Kitanai, that it's in fact a machlokas tanaim. It will take us a little while to get there, but to see that there's a machlokas tanaim. Whether what Shmuel says is true, that when you remove the gid pnimi, you only have to take the part that is al kaf hayarech. The Brisa says as follows. Let's say you eat an entire gid anasha, but it's pachos mikazayis. So chayiv, you're chayiv malkus because it's a whole beria. Rabbi Yehuda omer achei bo kazayis. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're only chayiv malkus if you eat a kazayis. My time in the Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon hold that even if it's less than a kazayis, you're going to be chayiv malkus feeding a gid anasha because beria he, it's a beria, it's an entire entity, and when you eat an entire entity of something, you're going to be chayiv, just like the Halach the Gemara Maseches Malkus tells us that if you eat a teeny tiny bug, you're going to be chayiv malkus for eating a teeny tiny bug. It's way less than a kazayis, but nevertheless, you're chayiv malkus because it's a beria, it's an entire entity, and therefore you're going to be chayiv malkus. The din of beria is nogea to bracha achrona as well, that if you have a beria shlema, even if it's pachas mikazayis, it could be that one is required to recite a bracha achrona on it. Rabbi Yehuda achila ksiva bay, and Rabbi Yehuda will say that you're not going to get malchus unless you eat a kazayis, because he holds that the Torah says al kain lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael's gid anasha, and achila always means a kazayis, so you're only going to be chayv if you eat a kazayis. V'rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan say, how did the Rabbanan understand the lashon of achila, if after all, even with less than a kazayis, according to the Rabbanan, you're going to be chayv? Hahi achila dechiyas be'arbav chamisha zeisim v'achal chad kazayis mechayv. No, because there's also an isra achila, meaning there's an isser of birya, and there's another isser that even if you don't eat the entire gid, but you eat a kazayis of it, you're also going to be chayav malchus. So it could be a very large gid that's four or five kazayisim, and you only eat one of those one kazayis of it, you're right, going to be chayav malchus according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda holds that from Achila we learn that even if you eat a gid shalem, you're not going to be chayav malchus unless you have a kazayis. How is he going to know that if you have a large gid that has kama kazayisim and you eat one kazayis, you're chayav? So may asher al kaf hayorich nafka. That the pasuk sounds like in order to be chayiv, you don't need to eat the whole gid. You could just eat the area that's al kaf hayorich. So as long as it's a sheer kazayis. So Rabbi Yehuda learns from the lashon of achila that eating a kazayis is going to be mechayiv you. And from asher al kaf hayorich, from al kaf hayorich, he derives that even if it's a very very large gid and you only eat a piece of it that's a kazayis, you're going to be chayiv. For Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who hold that from Lashon Achila, we learn that in order to be chayiv malchus, you don't need to eat the entire gid. Where do they learn from al kaf hayarech? They don't need al kaf hayarech to teach me that din. Ah, so this is where we come back. Homi bayilei, look at the Shmuel. That comes to teach me the din of Shmuel. Tamar Shmuel, lo asra Torah. Torah Ella Shal Kafa Yarech, that the Torah only answers the part of the Gid that's Al Kafa Yarech, but not the full length of the Gid Apnimi. As we said, the Gid Apnimi stretches all the way down the leg. You don't have to remove all of that, only the part that's Al Kafa Yarech. That's the only part that's Aser. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't darshan that way, disagrees. He holds HaYarech Kziv, and that's an extra word that teaches me to Kula Yarech, that the Gid is mispashet throughout the entire length of the Yarech. It goes all down the leg. For Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who hold that the Torah only answers the part that's Al Kafa Yarech, and not all the way down the leg, Hahu, from that word HaYarech, they learn that the Torah only answers the Gid Apnimi. The Pasha Disure Bekule Yarech La'afuke Chitzon Delo, that it's coming to tell me which of the two Gidin in that area of the animal is Aser. It's the Gid that goes Al Kula Yarech. The Isser doesn't extend Al Kula Yarech. The Isser is only Al Kafa Yarech. But if you want to identify which vein it is, it's the one that branches all the way down and that goes Al Kafa Yarech. Uliolam Shal Kaf, but the actual Isser is only that which is the Chelek that's on the Kaf itself. So it turns out that Shmuel is following the Shita of the Rabbanan. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the entire Gid that's in Spashe throughout the entire length of the leg, throughout the entire length of the earth, is all Aser Min HaTorah. So that's the Machlokas. That's what we said when the Gemara started this conversation. It said that Amr Shmuel Aser Torah El Kaf Bilvad, that Shmuel said that the Torah only asers the part that's on the Kaf, and Rav Papa said, Kitanai, that's a Machlokas Tanaim. And this is that Machlokas Tanaim, that Shmuel follows the Shita of the Rabbanan, that it's only the part that's on the calf, but Rabbi Yehuda will say no, it extends all the way down the leg. The Isser extends all the way down the leg throughout the entire Gid. So it turns out that there are four different machlokos in our sugya. Machlokos number one is when it comes to taking out the thickness of the Gid, that's Al Kafa Yarech. We have a machlokos from Rabbi Yehuda. Do you have to scoop it out or you just even out the surface? Where Rabbi Yehuda held you could just even out the surface, and that's what was his name, Bar Piule was doing in front of Shmuel, and Shmuel held like Rabbi Meir that no, you have to scoop it out. That's from the thickness on the area that's Al Kafa Yarech. Second machlokas is does it extend all the way down? Is it the entire length of the Gid that's going to be Aser? That's this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Then we had a machlokas by a full Gid that measures less than the Kazayas. If you eat a whole Gid but it's less than Kazayas, are you Chayiv Malkus or not? So according to Rabbanan, you're Chayiv Malkus is Beria, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not Chayiv Malkus because it's not a Chila. And then the fourth machlokas is if you eat the Gid on the left side. So is that a violation of the Isser Gid and Usher for which you get Malkus? The Rabbanan would say, yeah, each side is an Isser. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only Hayarech on the right side. So four different machlokas that we just saw in our sugya. So frankly, Gemara, v'hai kaf, mibayli, l'mute of the let's say kaf. But wait a second, don't we use the word kaf already? Teach me a different thing to exclude an oaf, a bird that doesn't have a kaf. So it says Gemara, trei kaf ksivi. The word kaf appears twice in the same pasuk. It says asher al kaf yarech ad yom hazeh ki naga b'chaf yarech Yaakov. So therefore, from the first kaf you can learn that which the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda each learn. From the second kaf you can learn to exclude an oaf from the iser of Gid Anasha. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Yarech shen special by Gid Anasha. This is where we get into the real Tarovas Dinim. If you have a thigh that you did not remove the Gid Anasha, and you just cooked that whole thigh, you cooked that whole leg of the animal. So im yesh pabinosin tam, harezu asura. If the Gid is able to impart tam to impart flavor into the whole thigh of the animal, then the whole thing is going to be asur ba'achila. And if it does not impart tam, so then the rest of the meat is going to be mutter ba'achila. But the rest of the meat is going to be mutter ba'achila. The Gemara is going to explain that the Tana of the Mishnah holds that yesh begidim nosin tam, that there's a machlokas whether yesh begidim nosin tam or ein begidim nosin tam. So the Tana of our Mishnah assumes that there is flavor to the Gid, and therefore there is time for it to impart. But if you hold in beginning of the time, if it gets cooked with everything, or salted with everything, or roasted with everything, just take the Gid out, and then you can still eat the rest of it, because there is no time that has been imparted to the rest of it. However, that's only, Rashi points out, that's only when it comes to the Gid itself. But if you also cook the Shuman HaGid with the rest of the thigh, so the Shuman HaGid is Aser, and the Shuman HaGid definitely does have time. So the Shuman HaGid would be able to impart flavor flavor to the rest of it. That's how Rashi learns. However, Tosos on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, Tosos in Dibur Maskul Shaini writes in the name of the Ram that since Shuman Agid is only Aser Midrabanan, and it's only Aser on account of the Gid itself, you can't have a case where you cook the thigh of the animal and the Gid itself is not going to impart any Iser, but the Shuman Agid, which is only Aser on account of the Gid, is going to Aser the meat that surrounds it. That it's not Mistaber that when the Dalrais is not doing anything, that the Drabanan is going to be more powerful than the Dalrais. So see, even the Shuman Agid is not going to make an impact. That is one Ha'ara. Another Ha'ara Tosos has over here is that the piece of Iser that gets, in general, if you have something that's Aser, a piece of meat that's Aser, that gets salted together with a piece of meat that's Mutter, the entire portion of the Chatichas HaHeter that borders on the Chatichas HaIser becomes Aser B'Kedei Klipa, meaning the part that touches it, as they're being salted together, we assume Tam is transferred to a Kedei Klipa around it. So you're going to have to peel off a Kedei Klipa, perhaps even a Kedei Netila, of the area around it. So says Tosfos, well, wait just a second over here. Before you cooked this Gid on Asher, Mestami, you did Melicha, otherwise the whole meat's going to be Aser anyway. So Mestami, you did Melicha on it. If you did Melicha on it, why are we saying it's Benosin Tam, that we measure the Gid versus the rest of the thigh? It should be the Gid plus the Kedei Klipa versus the rest of the thigh. Because the Kedei Klipa also became Aser. At the time of the Melicha, the Kedei Klipa became Aser. Now that you're cooking it, it's the Gid plus the Kedei Klipa around it, not just the Gid itself. So Tosfos writes, that L'chora, you'd have to measure that way. However, he says it's subject to Machlokas. We know that in Hilchos Bas B'Chalav, there's a concept called Chaticha Nases Nevela, that if you have a piece of meat and milk that get mixed together, let's say it's a kazayas of milk and a kazayas of meat that get mixed together, you don't have one kazayas of Isser, you have two kazayasim of Isser, that the entire the entire thing becomes the shame Isser. All of it becomes the Isser. So what do we say by Shari Surim? Let's say you have a piece of nevela and a piece of kosher meat. So kazayas of nevela and kazayas of kosher meat that get cooked together and the flavor goes from one to the other. So do you assume that you have one kazayas of Isser over here, or do we assume that you have two kazayasim of Isser when it comes to being mevatalit, if it's going to now be mixed with other things? So if you hold chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim, so then you hold that you have two kazayasim of Isser. So Tosfos writes that the idea that you need a kedei klipa is that when you measure benesinas tam, it's not just the gid being nosin tam, but it's the gid plus the kedei klipa that assumes chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim. But if you don't hold chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim, so then it's vaiter, just the gid that has to be measured against the rest of the thigh. So that din of chaticha nas nevela, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, only applies to Basra B'chol, does not apply to shari surim. According to Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, it applies to shari surim as well. Okay, but again, simple reading of the Mishnah. Yeah, you have a thigh, you do not remove the gid hanasha from it, and then you cook the whole leg of the animal, the whole thigh of the animal. So if there's enough tam, the gid is large enough that it's able to impart tam to the rest of the meat, so then the meat is going to be aser. Ketzad Misharon Osa, how do you measure something like that? So what do you mean, Ketzad Misharon Osa? Normally you measure, if it imparted tam. Ask a guy if it imparted tam or not. So Chassam Sofer writes, you can't, because when it comes to basar b'chalav, a guy knows what basar tastes like, he knows what chalav tastes like. So if he tastes basar, he could tell you whether the basar has a flavor of chalav in it, right? When it comes to Gid on Asher, why would a guy ever do nikur? He's never eaten a thigh of an animal that the gid did not impart tam into, so he would never be able to recognize. So you have to have some way of measuring it volume wise. So says Mark Kibasar Belefes, you measure it based on imagining that it was meat and turnips that were being cooked together, and would the meat impart flavor into the turnips? And that's how you have to measure the gid versus the meat that surrounds it. If a gid anasha is cooked together with other gidim, with other kosher gidim, bizman shemakiro, so if you recognize which one is the gid anasha, get rid of it, even though you already cooked it together with the rest, and then benosin tam. Whether the other ones are going to be asur is going to depend whether the gid was large enough to give tam into the rest of them. But ve'imlav, if you can't even identify which one is the gid anasha, so you're not going to be able to pull out the gid anasha, then kulam asur, then all of the gidim in the pot are going to be asur. What about the sauce? Varot of benosin tam. The sauce is only going to be asur if the gid anasha alone would have been able to give tam into the sauce. Meaning, even though all of these gidim are now going to be asur because you can't identify which one is the gid anasha, we don't have to measure all of them connected the sauce because only one of them is really asur. So when measuring against the sauce, you only need to measure one of them against the sauce. V'chein chatich shal nevela. Similarly, if you have a piece of nevela, v'chein chatich shal dag tamer. You have non-kosher fish. Shenis bashlu mechatichos. It gets cooked with other pieces that are kosher. So bizman shemekirin, if you recognize the problematic one, so benosin tam, get rid of the problematic one, and then whether it asked the rest will depend whether it was nosin tam into the rest. But vimlav, if you can't even identify which one is the non-kosher one, then kulan asuros, then all of the chatichos are going to be asur because you have the problematic one still in there. Varotav benosin tam, and as far as the sauce, as far as the sauce is concerned, so then only if the problematic one would have been powerful enough or large enough to impart flavor into the sauce, will the sauce become asr. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara on the bottom of Tzadi Vavam Beis.